Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
I've been trying to figure out what gives people's lives meaning, and if you look at it technically, in order to have any positive meaning in your life, you have to have identified a goal, and you have to be working towards it. And there is a technical reason for that. And the technical reason, as far as I can tell, is that the circuitry that produces the kind of positive emotion that people really like is only activated when you're proceeding towards a goal that you value. And so that means that if you don't have a goal that you value, you can't have any positive emotions. So technically, that's the incentive reward system, and it's the underlying circuitry is dopaminergic. And when that circuitry is activated, then it's part of the exploratory circuit. It gives you the sense of being actively engaged in something worthwhile. You know, you tend to think of positive emotion as something produced by reward, but there's two kinds of positive emotion. One is the reward that's associated with satiation, and that's consummatory reward, and that's the reward you get when you're hungry and you eat. But the thing about eating when you're hungry is that it destroys the framework within which you were operating, right? It's time to eat. Well, you eat, and then that framework's no longer relevant. So the consummatory reward eliminates the value framework, and then you're stuck with, well, what are you going to do next? And so the consummatory reward has with it its own problems, but the incentive reward is constantly what keeps you moving forward. And incentive reward, because it's dopaminergic, also is analgesic, literally analgesic. So if you're in pain, you take opiates, and that will cut the pain, but so will psychomotor stimulants like cocaine or amphetamines. And so it's literally the case that if you're engaged in something that's engaging and you're working towards a goal, that you're going to feel less pain. And you can see this happening with athletes who, you know, they'll break their thumb or something, or maybe sometimes even their ankle, and they'll keep playing the game. Of course, afterwards, they're suffering like mad, but the fact that they're so filled with goal-directed enthusiasm means that, well, the pain systems are in some sense shut off. So that's an interesting thing, because what it suggests, I mean, then you could imagine, I might say, well, how happy are you that you've made a certain amount of progress? And if you think about it, what you'd say is, well, it depends on how much progress and in relationship to what. So, hypothetically, you're going to be happier if you've made quite a bit of progress towards a really important goal. And then you have to think through what it means for a goal to be really important, because that's not obvious. Now, you could say, you're in this class, and you're listening to some information, and maybe there's two reasons for that. You might find the information interesting per se, but let's forget about that for a minute. You need to listen to the information so that you can do well on the assignments, so that you can do well in the class. You need to do well in your classes so that you can finish up your degree. You need to finish up your degree so that you can find your place in the world. You need to do that so that you're financially stable and maybe you can start a family and have a life, and that's all part of being a good person, something like that. And so that's a hierarchy of goals, and you might say that being a good person would be the thing, however vaguely thought through, that's at the top of that hierarchy. And then when you're doing things that serve that ultimate purpose, then you're going to find those more meaningful, and that meaning is actually produced as a consequence of the engagement of this exploratory circuit that's nested right down in your hypothalamus. It's really, really old. It's as old as thirst, and it's as old as hunger. It's really an old system. And so you want to have that thing activated. It might be that the sense of meaning that life can provide to you is proportionate to the amount of responsibility you decide to take on. And that'd be very strange if it was the case, you know, because responsibility, of course, is a kind of weight, obviously, and it's difficult to take on responsibility. But if any positive emotion that you feel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And your control of anxiety and the control over pain is dependent on the activation of these systems that watch you move towards a desired goal. Then the more complete and weighty the goal is, the more kick there's going to be in the observation that you're moving towards it. And you kind of already know this because you'll have observed in your own life that when you're engaged in something that you believe in, that the time passes properly. You know, you can see this even if you're reading a paper and it's actually related in some intelligible manner to something that you want to learn. So even though it's difficult, you get engaged in it, you can remember it better, you can process it better, and you're not so likely to fall asleep, and you're not so likely to want to find distractions, all of that, you can get into it. And it would be very interesting if that was proportionate to the degree of responsibility that you're willing to shoulder, and I think you can make a strong case for that. I've also often wondered, imagine you could offer people a choice. Here's the choice. You could say, well, your life isn't meaningful. The nihilists have got it right. There's no meaning in your life. And because of that, there's no reason for you to accept any responsibility. So you can live a responsibility-free life, and maybe one of impulsive pleasure-seeking, but a responsibility-free life. But the price you pay is that it doesn't get to be meaningful. Or you could say to someone, no, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to say, you can live a meaningful life, but it's only going to be as meaningful as the amount of responsibility that you're willing to bear. And then you might say, well, what would people choose? Because everybody also always makes noises about wanting to have a meaningful life. But if the price you pay for that is the adoption of responsibility, then it's not so obvious that people would choose meaning over, you know, over pointless pursuits, if the benefit they got for choosing the pointless pursuits was that they really didn't have to care about anything they ever did, right? It's no responsibility. When you go from a bad place to a better place, you go to a worse place first. It's a great thing to know because it also tells you why you might be unwilling to take the next step. You know, you're aiming up, but in order to aim up, you have to let go of something you already have. And then that'll put you into a state of chaos. And unless you're willing to undergo that intermediary state of chaos, and you might not recover from it, you're not going to get to the next level. Many of you, I presume, have seen Breaking Bad. You have this ordinary high school teacher who really thinks that he's an axe, and his family as well. You know, like your typical persona, roughly speaking. He's just a normal guy. But part of the reason that he's a normal guy is because he actually hasn't been put in abnormal circumstances, and then all of a sudden he is. And he has a genuine moral conundrum, right? He's going to die of lung cancer, and he has a son who's got a lot of health problems, and he's terrified that he's going to leave his wife and his child behind with nothing. And so he decides to do something that temporarily that he regards as what they would normally regard as reprehensible. And of course, he just gets tangled up in that. But then as the story unfolds, you see that it's more complicated because it's not that he was just innocent, good guy and he decided to turn bad. He's also very resentful and angry. And it's partly because he's a bit of a pushover at the beginning, or maybe more than a bit of a pushover. And also that he didn't really fulfill his own potential, and that, you know, he had friends who walked down the entrepreneurial path, and maybe they weren't quite fair to him, but whatever, he ends up not very successful as a high school teacher, and so he's really angry about that. And so there's more motivation for him opening up the door to the terrible elements of his personality than just the fact that he's got good motivations to do so, and that unfolds, you know. And so you see the warps and twists in his resentful character increasingly manifest themselves as he walks down this road to really total brutality. So it's one step at a time, and that's the thing, is that you end up in very bad places one step at a time, so you've got to watch those steps. Sometimes you take a leap forward and you learn some things, but you can't catalyze a new identity, so you try to go back and hide in your old identity. And that actually doesn't work, because well, things have changed and you've learned something, and that isn't who you are anymore. And so it's like you have to cut parts of yourself off in a destructive manner to fit back into the person that you were. One of the times in your life when you actually realize that you're an individual is when you'll go and ask your parents something and you'll realize they actually don't know any more about what you should do than you do. And that sucks. And that's partly why people are often willing to maintain a tyrant-slave relationship with their father. It's like, on the one hand, you have to be inferior in a relationship like that. You know, you've always got the judge watching you. But on the other hand, there's always someone who knows what to do. There's always someone standing between you and the unknown that you can go ask, what should I do? Well, at some point, you'll realize that the reason you can't ask that anymore is because they actually don't know any more than you do. And then that's a pain, like that is a symbolic death. And that's also when you establish a more individual relationship with your parents. It's at that point that you could conceivably start taking care of them instead of the reverse. And that's a time that should come. But you have to let that image of perfection go. And that exposes you.
When you're doubtful, say you're trapped, you ask yourself, well, why am I trapped? And that's a hard question, right? Some of it's your own inadequacy. You ask yourself, you sit on the bed and say, okay, man, I'm ready to learn something. Like, what's one thing I'm doing wrong that I know I'm doing wrong? That I could fix, that I would fix. It's like, you meditate on that, you'll get an answer. And it won't be one you want, but it'll be the necessary one. We kind of experience life as if we're tossed into it. You're male and not female. You're Hindu and not Christian. You're tall and not short. You have an arbitrary range of talents and an arbitrary range of limitations, none of which, in some sense, you chose. It's the cards you're dealt. Now, some of those are cards of privilege. Now, maybe you're born intelligent. Maybe you're born symmetrical. Maybe you're born healthy. Maybe you're born into a culture where it's much easier not to be absolutely deprived. And so, all of that, in some sense, is unearned. Now, the way you pay for your privilege is with your virtue. You have these opportunities and this existential guilt. And the way you expiate that and atone is by doing your best to live the best possible life you can manage, to speak the truth, to treat people with respect, to abide by the principles of the dignity of the individual, and to put your house in order. And that's how you pay for your unearned privilege. And we all have our privileges and our curses. All of us have that. That's why it's not useful to be envious of people. Carl Jung said, people in the modern world don't see God because they don't look low enough. And so imagine you're in your messy bedroom and you're sitting on the edge of the bed trying to have an honest dialogue with yourself. And the little voice says, you know, it's pretty disgusting in here. And you think, well, I'm way above such trivial niceties as organizing my room. Now, that's pride. If you're above organizing what's actually yours, how in the world are you ever going to organize anything else? Well, it's time to take a brush to the toilet, and maybe that's where you start. And that works. You start making those micro improvements, like real micro improvements, real on the ground, actual micro improvements to things you know that are wrong, you'll improve unbelievably rapidly. Just look at how much opportunity you have to make things better. Not that it's easy. We're built to walk uphill. And when you reach the pinnacle of the hill, you want to stop and appreciate the vision. But the next thing you want is a higher hill in the distance, because it's from the uphill climb that we derive our value. And I mean this technically. Almost all the positive emotion we feel, especially the emotion that fills us with enthusiasm, that's experienced in relationship to a goal. You want a goal that you can never attain, so you can always move closer to the goal that recedes as you move towards it. You think, well, that's frustrating. It's like Sisyphus pushing the rock uphill. But it's not, because as you pursue that goal, you put yourself together and your life does get better and richer and more abundant. You're here to live, not to sleep. The problem with the vision of Mai Tais on the beach is that, first of all, that's a vision of drug-induced unconsciousness. Second, it's only going to work for about a week. Third, you're going to be a laughingstock in a month and depressed and aimless. I think the right solution to the most serious problems is to be found at the level of the individual. Jung said, for example, that we all acted out a myth, and whether we knew it or not. And, you know, maybe you're acting out a tragedy. Maybe you're acting out Narcissus. You don't know, because you've put that on yourself in an attempt, in some ways, to deliver to people what they want, or more accurately, to look as though you're delivering to people what they want. Someone who's really infantile and dependent, someone who's never left home, part of their problem is that they haven't crafted a persona. So you don't want to denigrate it entirely, but it's no substitute for the real thing. And it turns out that not only is what we want from each other the real thing, but that's also the adventure of your life. If you aren't truthful, and that means, unfortunately, especially at the beginning, when you start to be truthful, it means deeply coming to terms with your inadequacies in humility. So it's very painful. Without that, you don't have the adventure of your life. You have the role that you've acquiesced to. In my clinical practice, in 20 years, working with every sort of person you could imagine, I never ever saw anyone get away with anything even once. We're all subject, not least, to the judgment of our own conscience. Try to escape from that. No one can escape from that. We have to contend with that wisely. And then you ask, well, how do you contend with things wisely? And I would say, well, don't pollute your thoughts with deceit. You compromise your own wisdom. How are you going to make intelligent, not intelligent decisions, wise decisions? That's why you shouldn't lie. You're warping the mechanism that orients you in the world. I think Pinocchio is a brilliant work of art. And if you're a puppet and an actor, and Pinocchio is both, at times in that movie, both a puppet and an actor. So why an actor? Like, why is there something wrong with being an actor? Well, the first question is, who sets your role? And then the second question is, who's pulling your strings? Because you have to act out your ideals to some degree, right? And you also have to formulate a avatar of yourself in some sense. That's a mediator between you and other people. You need this functional shell. The problem arises when that functional shell is all that there is. And then the real person underneath is just desperate and unhappy because nothing of what's being acted out reflects a true underlying reality. You don't want someone else's fate. Man, your fate's enough. So you speak truthfully, and you watch what happens. Will truth, beauty, and love save the world? Well, you can find out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.